Tonight's sixth reading will be from Mark chapter 15, verses 33 through 41, the death of Jesus. When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, putting it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And there were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and Joses, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him, and they ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem.
If you were there on that night nearly 2,000 years ago, what would you have seen? What would have been before you? A haggard man. A man whose arms and legs were nailed to wood, blood streaming down, aching with every movement that he makes. Each breath, a great struggle as he gasps and tries to lift his body up to inhale. Every drop of blood which drips from his brow, bringing him one step closer to death. If you didn't know who he was, you might have laughed along with the Roman soldiers at the cruel joke that they played, giving him a fake crown, a purple robe, nailing above him a crudely made sign that says, "King of the Jews." Jesus had endured terrible physical suffering at this point, had not slept in over 24 hours, had not eaten since dinner the previous night, was racked with a terrible thirst that he cries out for. He'd been beaten and his body was broken. But imagine the emotional state that he was in as well. Spending the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying with such sorrow and grief before his heavenly Father. How he'd endured trials, sham trials, really. A parade of false witnesses telling lies about him. The priests and leaders of the Jews happily going along with it. The very ones who should have received him with open arms instead saw fit to mock him, to strike him. Adam, with their disgust, you have the indifference of Pilate, the Roman leader, who probably saw this as just a backwater peasant, barely worthy of his time. And as he hangs on that cross, everyone who comes by to mock him. If you are who you said you are, they say, come down off of that cross. It's a mocking that cuts even deeper when you realize that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He could call down an army of angels. He could really come down off of that cross, but he doesn't. And perhaps most painful of all, as he is up on that cross and looks down and sees his followers, who remains? The 12 are long gone. Only these faithful few, these faithful women stand there and weep. Weep at their great teacher. The one who they hoped so dearly was the Messiah as he hangs from a cross. And though that emotional pain was great, there was an even greater pain that Jesus endured. Notice again those last words that Mark records for us in verse 34. Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? What a terrible way for Jesus to describe his condition. But you see, Jesus in this moment is not speaking extemporaneously. This thought didn't just occur to him. No, in those words, Jesus is quoting from an even more ancient document than the times that he's living in. He's quoting from Psalm 22. The first two verses read, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. This speaks of the situation that Jesus is now in. But Jesus has known these words for his whole life, hasn't he? A whole life of crying out to his Father and finding response. And yet Jesus has these words at the back of his mind, knowing that someday they would be true for him. As a small boy in the temple, just desiring to be in his heavenly Father's house, and yet back there knowing, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he's baptized and he hears the Father call out, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. And yet, my God, why have you forsaken me? Throughout his ministry, as he took time away from the crowds to be alone with his heavenly Father, and still knowing, my God, why have you forsaken me? At the transfiguration, as he shines with the true glory that he possesses for Peter and James and John, and yet the Father even declares again, this is my Son, my beloved Son. Listen to him. And Jesus knows, my God, why have you forsaken me? And finally, in the garden, hours before he would be hanging on this cross, filled with grief and sorrow and agony, he goes to the only one that he knows can help him in that moment, but his heavenly Father. And even as he prays to God, your will be done, he knows that part of that will be that he's crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? to know his whole life of relying on his Father, to know even from eternity that God the Son would be crying out to God the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? What would compel Jesus to live a life like that? A life of suffering, a life of anticipating the agony that he would know on that night. Why would Jesus willingly see his relationship with his heavenly Father hurt in such a profound and deep way? Brothers and sisters, this is a picture of the love of God for sinful people. For people like you and I. People who are rightly his enemies. And yet, Jesus became his Father's enemy. Feeling the wrath of the Father against sin, the wrath that we deserve for us. You see, this is an appalling miscarriage of justice. Truly, we should have suffered that fate. And yet, because of the profound love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, it's not us up on that cross crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Brothers and sisters, those of you who look to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will never be us crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because for the believer, Christ has said that for the final time. It no longer needs to be repeated. Because our Heavenly Father has loved us so dearly that he has not withheld his Son. Our Lord Jesus has loved us so deeply that he has laid down his life for his sheep. And the Holy Spirit loves us so powerfully that we, who were his enemies, are now his sons. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, a love like this is hard to fathom. When have we ever seen anything like this? When have we ever known anything like this? This stands alone in all of history. That this relationship between Father and Son would have a rift to repair the rift that was between us and you. Lord God, on this Good Friday, help us to meditate on this truth. Draw us to a deeper love for you, a deeper devotion to you when we see how deeply and how dearly you love us. Lord, we pray this all through the one in whom we stand, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.